Does the Australian government have a legal responsibility to protect communities in the Torres Strait from climate change? This is a question the federal court is currently considering in what's been described as a landmark case brought by two Torres Strait elders, Pabai Pabai and Paul Cabai, against the Commonwealth. Now, the case comes as Europe's highest human rights court recently ruled that its member nations must protect their citizens from the consequences of climate change, which could, of course, as you know, have global ripple effects. Isabel Reinicki is the executive director of the Grata Fund, a public interest advocacy group supporting the litigation. Isabel, let's take a step back for a moment. What exactly are the grounds for the case that you're bringing on behalf of Uncle Pabai Pabai and Uncle Paul Cabai?
Hi, thanks for having me. So the case is based in the common law concept of negligence. So the idea being that if you have a special sort of relationship, you can't cause harm to the person that you have that relationship with. And so the uncles and their lawyers are arguing that the government does have that special sort of relationship, that they owe a duty of care to Torres Strait Islanders, in part due to something called the Torres Strait Treaty that's signed between the Australian government and Papua New Guinea in the late 70s. And they're arguing that the Australian government is materially contributing and causing climate change, including the harms that are extremely profound in the Torres Strait, and will ultimately, if we don't change course, see people really essentially displaced from their homelands. We've heard in court that on the science, it's highly likely that within 26 years, some people will have to leave the islands because they'll become uninhabitable because of sea level rise. And so what the court is being asked to do is make an order that finds that the Australian government has to stop causing that harm, and it has to stop causing that harm by reducing emissions in line with what science says. It also is us seeking the court to order that the government actually has to help communities in the Torres Strait adapt to the impacts of climate change that are coming. The government's denying that that's something that it needs to do, and that's understandable perhaps that they would like to not be responsible for those impacts. But it's been pretty surprising, some of the lines that the government has prosecuted this week. They've said things like they aren't responsible for considering climate science when committing to emissions reduction cuts. So, at one point the government lawyer said that actually the government didn't really consider climate science, and that's very reasonable for it in setting a climate emission reduction cuts. That came as a bit of a surprise to the judge and the audience, but there were a number of similar statements as well, including statements that were pretty offensive to people in the courtroom from the government, saying things like the loss of culture, spirituality and law, L-O-R-E, known as island custom in the Torres Strait, would only be equivalent to the kind of the loss and sadness that is felt for somebody in a personal injury claim when witnessing a car accident. And so similarly to that, there shouldn't be any compensation for the sort of harm that would receive. And that's been pretty vehemently rejected by the uncle's lawyers, though.
I happen to have interviewed Uncle Pabai and Paul Cabai before, and they've spoken in quite a lot of detail about the effects of climate change that they're already seeing, which is a salination of drinking water. You have on some Torres Strait Islands ancestral remains in cemeteries being inundated by water. Of course, it's the intermittent and unpredictableness of king tides. What else have they talked to you about, the current effects of climate change as we look towards the future?
The impacts are profound, and like the uncles, any person who lives in the Torres Strait and is a Torres Strait Islander person can give you intimate explanations of the changes they've seen. You've got massive saltwater inundation, which means that agricultural lands no longer grow crops. You've got damage to homes. You've got people who now have waterfront views. It's sort of a dark joke that you can actually step out your front door and have your feet in water now, rather than being significantly inland from the shore. So you've got massive sea level rises that's having a really profound, obvious impact already. And that's partly because we know that the sea levels are rising around the Torres Strait at double the global average. They're rising really fast, and we just don't have time to muck around on that.
It's 12 past four. Isabel Reinicki is the executive director of a public interest advocacy group, the Grata Fund. We're discussing this federal court case, which will assess whether the Commonwealth government has a duty of care to protect First Nations communities in the Torres Strait from climate harm. If you are successful here, What are the implications globally and for other First Nations populations around Australia who might be subject to climate change? Would it require Australia to adopt a more ambitious climate target or emissions target? I mean, that's going to be a stretch, I would have thought.
That's one of the asks of the court, and that's in line with similar judgments that have been made internationally in recent years, that the court can come in and say, look, there is a level of harm that is so profound and so knowing being committed by governments that actually it becomes an unlawful step, and there are some guardrails that the court can put in place, and one of those guardrails is to order emissions reduction cuts. So the implications are profound for First Nations communities in Australia, for people in Torres Strait, but also all people affected by climate impacts across Australia. And that's why we've seen bushfire survivors, flood survivors join the Uncles this week in Cairns to really stand in solidarity with them, because we know that the implications of this case are really transformative if it wins at the highest order. What it really means is that the Australian government will actually finally have to start taking climate change seriously based on facts, rather than dodging and greenwashing based on spin. In terms of the global audience, the people are definitely watching this around the world very closely. We know that Australia is viewed as one of the global outliers in terms of its contributions to climate inaction. It's one of the seventeenth most contributing nations to climate impacts in the world. We've heard an expert testimony in court this week. And we know that the globe really needs Australia to shift for all ambitions around the world on climate change to be elevated, and for us to really have a chance of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees, as the world agreed to do in the Paris Agreement.
The case is wrapping up today, as I understand it. How long will you have to wait before there is an outcome for the Torres Strait Islanders?
The case is literally wrapping up now, and I'm going to run back into court so I can watch the final moments. Look, a federal court judge, it depends. It can take 4 to 6 months. We're hopeful that we'll get a decision this year.
Isabel Reinicki is the Executive Director of the Grata Fund. Appreciate your time this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Thanks so much.